Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, Peace Family? We back. This brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
This is Sister Rigel.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Montoya X, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds. We back for another week, y'all. Hopefully to share another powerful conversation and dialogue with the family. This Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. And we got a good show for y'all today. Before we get started, as usual, do we have any announcements, y'all? And how was the week? I'm going to keep it real, real quick. This daylight savings kind of threw me off. That hour, I truly lost it, I must say. I really did lose that hour. So remember the importance of time, like I talked about last week, but it got away from me today, y'all. But Sister Rigel, how was your week?
My week was great.
All right.
Yeah, my week was great. I'm so thankful to be able to say that again. So I just try to make sure that my perception is that is great. I always like to see the glass as half full.
There you go. Optimism, that's right.
Yes. So,
that's right.
It was great. And I hope everybody else had a great weekend as well, or great week, rather. Well, I don't have any announcements, but I do want to touch base on, did someone mention that R. Kelly was out?
Yes. I think he did get out. They say a fan or somebody paid the child support, which is interesting. You know, because the other lady posted his bail, posted his bond the last time he had got locked up. So he got some loyal fans out there that's coming through for him, it sounds like to me. You know.
You're possibly sure you didn't have anything to do with that?
Well, you know, I won't say on air. All I'm going to say is R. Kelly is still my brother, and the hands off Robert movement is real.
It's real.
Okay. Well, let's see how this go. But like I said, I'm putting my money on they about to lock the brother up by any means necessary, and they not gonna stop till they get her done. You dig? So, you know, we'll see how that go. But Brother Bufas, you, how was your week, my brother?
Oh, rare week was very good as well. I had no major issues as far as the announcements go. Today we had a fundraising dinner at Muhammad Mosque 28 here in the St. Louis area. Fundraising dinner for our newly developed child development center. And the dinner was excellent. Two entrees of chicken and salmon. And it was a good time. And I want to appreciate give a thanks to Sister Raju and Brother Kev and the other people who donated funds to help do the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and raising our own children. So thank you, brother and sister, for helping me out. And again, to everyone else who donated funds to our Child Development Center, it starts with the babies.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That is where it started.
And I'm
so.
A baby.
Right. That's right.
Wow, wow, wow.
A child at heart, right? I'm a little baby.
Let's
get it. Yeah.
I'm still my first baby.
Okay.
Once a man, twice a child.
Right, I ain't mad at that either. They say it's mandatory to grow up. No, it's mandatory to grow old, but it's optional to grow up. You dig? So, there it is.
All right.
Yeah, y'all. So, look.
Yes, sir.
Selected Minds Radio. Give us a call. This is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And we're going to have a good conversation today, y'all, because we are talking about reparations for Black Americans and the ADOS movement. That's ADOS. And what does that stand for? We're going to get into all that. We're going to break it down. And then we're going to get to the call line. So give us a call, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. Brother Kev, Righteous Star, and our brother Mufasa Ra. Yeah, so I guess before we go in, I'm going to, I guess, just break down what, you know, ADOS stands for and the movement and everything and how that's been going, and then we can just go from there. That's cool, y'all?
That sounds like a winner.
All right. So the ADOS movement stands for American Descendants of Slaves. Again, ADOS is American Descendants of Slaves, not African Descendants of Slaves. And this movement was started, well, I first heard about it from, you know, a few YouTube influencers. Just want to give them shots out and get a credit due. It's a brother named Tone Talks. I believe he's a lawyer out of California. There's this young lady named Yvette Cornell. Then there's also a guy named Tariq Nasheed, and then there's Professor Black Truth and the Black Channel. Now, these people are just YouTube influencers, and they came up with the term ADOS. I believe it actually – let me take a step back. I believe it was either Antonio Moore or Yvette Cornell that came up with the actual term. And then everybody else just starts supporting it, right? So it just means American Descendants of Slaves. So basically what this movement is saying is Black foundational Americans of slavery, which there's about, 30 to 35 million in the United States. The claim is we deserve reparations. And they made the distinction of calling it American Descendants of Slaves because as far as, foundational Americans, we have been the most Americans in this country. You know, they go for any type of white person claiming they're a patriot and all that type of stuff. No, because when it comes down to it, they don't like to follow their own laws. You see what I'm saying? The laws that they wrote up, Black people have had to fight in order to make them honor their laws, right? So Black people in America have been the most patriotic Americans since the founding of this country. We have fought in every war, you know, even in a Revolutionary War, the first person to take a bullet was a Black man, Crispus Attucks, I believe. So we fought in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, you name it. Every war we have fought in. And the issue is with our issue is with the American government, right? That's why we got to make the distinction that it's American Descendants of Slaves, because we're coming to the American government saying, hey, based on slavery, based on, 250 years of slavery, based on the 90 years of Jim Crow, based on the 60 years of separate but equal, based on 100 years of racist policies that still go on to this day, racist housing policy, based on government sanctioned terrorism, that we had to endure, we deserve reparations, just like other groups have gotten reparations and reconciliation for how they've been treated in this country. Now it's time for Black Americans, foundational Americans, to put that on the table that, no, we deserve reparations, okay? We built this country with our free labor, and we built the wealth of this country in order for it to be the military powerhouse that it is today, okay? So we built this country using our manpower, using our ingenuity, using our intellectual property, and we still haven't been rightfully compensated for all the damages that's been done over the years that's put us in a predicament where the Black family wealth is 10 times less than that of a white family, okay? So, you know, in order to reconcile these things, one of the ways to do that is through reparations, okay? And the thing is, the distinction is made also because Black Americans have to distinguish themselves from, let's say, first or second generation Black people from other countries that come here, right? So you have Black people from Africa, from different countries in Africa that may come over here. You have Black people even from the Caribbean that come over here and enjoy the fruits of our labor. Now, these people, of course, they're still our brothers. We still love them. But again, this is for foundational Black Americans who have been here and endured, endured the terrorism and what's been going on for the last 200 to 300 years. So,
would you say, in other words, just citizens? American citizens or Black American citizens, or is it even more, much more than that? Or does it extend beyond that?
Yeah, well, it's much more than that because you can have someone that comes over, say, from Nigeria, and they can be an American citizen, right? They can be a Black,
right.
They
well,
can be an American citizen. What we're saying is the people
right,
who
that's
have
true.
Been here.
I guess I should have added that in because, yeah, definitely excluding those that did come over in their lifetime and say, or, you know, within, you know, a portion of time anyway where they come over and they apply for a citizenship. Definitely excluding
right.
those situations. Yeah.
Right,
okay.
right. So with the ADOS movement, our issue, like I say, is with the American government. Now, when you have these Caribbean countries, because John Henry Clark said something that is very true. He said we were all, you know, most of us were brought over on ships, but they just made different stops. You know, some stopped in the Caribbean, some stopped in South America. You know, Brazil has the largest African population outside of Africa in the Western Hemisphere. You know, so some stopped in South America, some stopped in Jamaica, you know, Turks and Caicos, Bahamas, wherever. But their issue would be, let's say if you're an immigrant from Jamaica, if you're trying to get reparations, then you should, you know, your gripe is with England and British, right? You know, if you're in Haiti and you're trying to get reparations, then your gripe would be with France. Same thing in Africa. If you're in Nigeria, you would have to talk to, you know, the Belgium or the British, right? If you're in Zimbabwe, you would have to talk to, you know, the Belgians to get reparations. So we're in support of that, but we're saying don't come over here and knock the American descendants of slave movement. Don't knock our movement because our gripe is with the American government. And the thing is, since we've built this country, their come up is coming over here, right? When we get Black brothers and sisters from the Caribbean and from Africa, they're already coming over here for what? A better life, which was built up on the backs of black Americans. Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, their come up is coming over here. We got it popping over here based on our hard work, and that made it attractive for these other groups to come over here. Now, as far as immigration, a lot of black people that come over here, unfortunately, undermine black people. You get some Africans that come over here that don't really mess with black people. They call them katas and all type of names and different things, and they end up falling in line with white supremacy to undermine us, right? They'll come into our neighborhoods, set up businesses, set up shops, and we're left with nothing. You know what I'm saying? They use the benefits that we...
Why do you think that mentality is what it is?
Well, I think it's like that because before they come over here, a lot of them are vetted, right? A lot of people are vetted, and they know, as far as immigration goes, they know when they come over here, a lot of them are told to stay away from those black Americans. You see, stay away from those heathens. Stay away from them. They bad. They violent. They this, they that. And just stay away from them. So in order to come over here and get those benefits, they keep them on a tight leash, and if they want to get their citizenship, they know that they cannot too much associate with black people like that, some of them. You know what I'm saying? Now, we do have some strong riders and people who have a pan-African mindset, but like I said, in this day and age, that's kind of few and far between. We're dealing with a lot of people that come over and try to undermine us, and they end up working, even though they're black and they look like us, they end up working against us. They end up working for white supremacy and working for the system. A lot of people, don't know, when you see these black news people and a lot of these black actors that's been coming over here lately, a lot of these people are from other countries. These are black people from other countries. You dig what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. They're coming over here and getting the benefits that we put down, because coming over to America in itself is a come up, and that's what black Americans have to understand, right? Black Americans got to understand that we have built this country. We've made it viable. We've made it attractive for people to come over and get their come up, get their resources on so they can do their thing. But that wouldn't have happened without the work that we have put in. Okay. So now I just want to lay out just a few, give people a few resources that they can use to actually, study this and have some type of, literature that they can look at to kind of articulate these ideas, because there's a lot of documentation that has been done that documents the plight of black people in America. A guy named Ta-Nehisi Coates did an article in The Atlantic in June 2014 called The Case for Reparations. That's a good start. There's a book called The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson that talks about the migration of black Americans, 6 million Americans that came from the South and moved up north, right? So 6 million people was fleeing black Americans fleed terrorism in the South and went up north, looking for a better life, only to find that up north it was even worse, you see. There's also a book called Blood at the Root, A Racial Cleansing in America by Patrick Phillips. This is about Forsyth County, Georgia, which was a largely all-black town, very successful. You had homeowners, you had people, black people doing their thing. And in 1912, three black men were accused of raping and killing a white woman. So the mobs in that town, the white mobs, ran out every black family in that town, burned their houses, took over their businesses, took over their land, and basically just ran him out of town, right? So that's called blood at the root. Then you got the East St. Louis 1917 terrorist attack that happened just across the water here, where black people got no protection from the law. Mobs came in. They was killing folks. I believe the body count is at least, you know, upward to 100 people plus that got killed. You see what I'm saying? So that's one thing to look at. Then you got Rosewood, Florida. Then you got Wilmington, North Carolina, Black Wall Street. All these towns, we're talking about 50 to 60 years after slavery, black people were able to pull themselves up, start businesses, start communities where those dollars were circulating, and they had to deal with terrorism coming from outside forces, right? So that's part of the conversation as well. So that's what I, you know, just wanted to lay that out as far as the ADOS movement and why we deserve reparations, because a lot of times when it comes to black people, everybody wants to play crazy. Oh, what is reparations? Because that Bernie Sanders was on the Breakfast Club and they asked him about reparations. He tried to play crazy. What is that? How are we going to pay it? What, you know, all these other questions. When it comes to us, everybody wants to play dumb. But nobody had a problem when everybody else was getting reparations. Do y'all know that slave owners, not the slave themselves, but slave owners got reparations from the government after the Civil War because they felt like they were losing their property and the government was going, the government cut them a check. I believe it was like $3,000 per slave based on them losing their property after slavery was a so-called abolished, quote unquote. So, you know, this is ridiculous. Like this, this is ridiculous. And Japanese that were put in internment camps during World War II, they got reparations, something like $2 to $3 billion. It was like $20,000 per Japanese person, right? You know, the U.S. invested $18 billion to rebuild Japan after World War II. We invested, you know, billions of dollars into West Germany after World War II. So we're talking about countries who have actually went to war with the U.S. receiving reparations and funds to rebuild themselves. But here we are, black Americans who have never fought against this country. We've only fought for this country, right, and for the ideas. I'm hearing some background noise up. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And we've only fought for this country and for the ideas of America, but yet we have not received any reparations. Okay. So that's where we at with the ADOS movement. If you're just joining us, family, we'll get to the phone lines here in a second. We are talking about reparations for black Americans and the ADOS movement. Now, I do want to put this out there, too, because we do know that there were a lot of black people here, okay, before Christopher Columbus or before the so-called European came over here and established America. So we do know that. Okay, I just want to put that out there, you know, as part of the conversation. But they would also be included, you know, in that conversation. Okay. So now, let me see. I guess I just asked y'all, what do y'all think about reparations for black people? Do we deserve reparations? And, you know, do y'all think we deserve reparations?
I personally think it's a great gesture. I think it definitely should be done. I think it'll be an awesome gesture because that's great, but it's other things too that needs to be in place. But that's a great gesture. I think it's awesome. I think it's something to continue to move toward and try to you know, make happen.
Right. Okay.
That's my
opinion. Brother Mufasa, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think we deserve reparations, black Americans?
Well, let me start by saying I'm looking at this movement, and in my opinion, it is divisive. Again, it is divisive. Because when you look at what we should be doing as a whole is uniting. And now with this ADOS movement, you got some, now we're arguing amongst each other over these reparations, who should get them and who should not. Let me read something from one of our elders, Marcus Garvey, when he said, "It can plainly be seen that the question of self-preservation and self-interest, the whites nowhere, whether in America, England, or France, are going to give way to the Negro to the detriment of their own. We need not look for constitutional protection or even philanthropic Christian sympathy, because if that is to be shown, it will be to the race that is able to bestow it. Hence, the Universal Negro Improvement Association," that's an association that was formed back in the early 1900s by the most honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. "Hence, the Universal Negro Improvement Association has but one solution for this great problem, and that is to work unceasingly for the bringing about of a national homeland for Negroes in Africa, so that when this wholesale declaration against Negroes takes place, we can have a national home of our own to look to." Now, for lack of time, I'm going to jump out of that book, and I'm going to jump to another one. And this is Message to the Black Man by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it goes to the program of what do the Muslims want. And when I say Muslims, I'm speaking of black people as a whole, for those who don't know, who know they are Muslims, and for those who don't know. And I'm going to go to point four, where it says, "We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 or 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs." So that's coming from two of our greatest elders and leaders in the black community. And with that being said, like Sister Raja said, these reparations, that's just a nice gesture. And we don't need a nice gesture. We need separation and them to make up for the wrongs that they have done. And if they truly want to make up for what they've done, we need our own land, and we need to be able to uplift ourselves. And we got to stop being divisive with each other. And that's just, like I say, this ADOS thing, it puts the black children. And I, don't get me wrong, I understand where it's coming from. I get it. But it still has us bickering amongst blacks across the diaspora, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Let me respond.
But don't you think that most things is divisive, though? If not all, because we are intellectual beings. So this is how we live. Actually, unfortunately, we use our intellect, which causes us to divide things.
I think that we do is going to be
divisive anyway. So I guess we got to pick and choose the best battle.
This is the thing we got to come to grips with, because the Pan-African movement was started in America. You're right. Okay, Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican, but he came over here to get the movement popping because he couldn't get it going in Jamaica. what we got to understand is black foundational Americans are the leaders of the black world, whether we like it or not, whether we on our, you know, nigga activity or what. The truth of the matter is, if the entire world is a plantation, and I believe it is, run by white supremacy, America is the big house. So we're in the house with the slave master. We know how they are. We know how they get down. Therefore, we're going to be the ones to lead any type of movement that's going to affect the diaspora worldwide. So as far as your divisive comment, my brother Mufasa, first you said it was divisive, then you just read something for Elijah Muhammad calling for reparation for the descendants of slaves, which is what the ADOS movement is. We're not just talking about a check. Give us land, give us money, because we deserve all that. We deserve everything that's been taken from us. We deserve it. So this is really not an asking. We're demanding these things from these quote-unquote political parties that's running for this presidential election in 2020. You know, we're asking this from these candidates, and if you can't provide that, then we just won't vote for you. And that is what's scary, because this ADOS movement is really a win-win strategy, because I, for one, don't think they're going to do it. You see what I'm saying? I think they go make excuses, they go act, play dumb, or we don't know how to do it, we don't have the funds, you know, but you can come up with funds for everything else, except for when it comes to paying black people what they've worked. So this ain't no handout. This ain't asking for something that's not deserved. You see what I'm saying? This is ours. So we're demanding that we be compensated for the work that we and our ancestors put in, right? So as far as that divisiveness goes, no, it's not divisive. What we're doing is treating other groups like they treat us. If you're down with the movement and you're from the diaspora, just support it. That's all you got to do. Just support it. You see what I'm saying? And then once we get this popping, everyone else will follow suit. Then you can have the Africans follow suit. But let's be real. Most in African countries, they under the thumb too. They colonized. They not doing nothing no more. The black consciousness is over here in America, period, point blank. Yes, you have some conscious people all around. You have black people in London. You have black people in South America. You have some black people in Africa who are conscious and aware. But let's be real. Pan-Africanism at this point is just a slogan. There's nothing real. Nobody, no African country is offering dual citizenships for us. I believe Ghana may be one of the only ones. But these African countries are not coming to us and offering us a safe haven where we can come and repatriate and get dual citizenship. So let's keep it real. We're not being divisive. It's just saying, hey, we're going to kick this off. And finally, black people are going to look out for themselves in America, first and foremost. Then we can help everybody else. Once we get our stuff established, you know, and we come at the government with a plan and with an agenda, then everyone else can follow lead. But don't, you know, you can't say it's divisive, because we built this country up so Africans from around the world can come over here and get their bread up. You see what I'm saying? We did that, but then we left holding the bag, and we don't get any resources because they're able to come from their home country and set up businesses in our neighborhood that are viable, that are productive, that are giving them resources. You see what I'm saying? And that's on the backs of us, just like the civil rights movement. We did all the heavy lifting for the civil rights movement, and what did we get? Nothing. Affirmative action went to white women. All these different groups ate off the work and the heavy lifting that we did. So now we're finally saying, no, hold up. We're going to look out for black Americans first and foremost, and our gripe is with the American government. If you're black in the diaspora, we support whatever movement you have going on with your home country to, you know, reconcile whatever grievances you have with that particular country or whoever colonized that country. But what we're saying is our gripe is with the United States. You dig what I'm saying? So, no, it's not divisive. It's just right on time. Because Pan-Africanism doesn't, it hasn't, since Garvey left, that movement has just become a lot of talk and a lot of slogans. It sounds good. It's very idealistic, but it's not realistic because, like I say, Africa's over there colonized too. They be letting one white man beat up a whole store of black people. You see what I'm saying? That's not going down over here. We're not having that type of madness. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, yes. So we're just starting at home first. If you're just joining us, family, it's Collective Minds Radio. We're talking about reparations for African Americans. I hate the term African Americans, my bad. We're talking about reparations for black Americans, and we're talking about the ADOS movement, which is American Descendants of Slavery. So, yeah, I get y'all want to get to the call lines. What's good?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Let's take callers. 314-448. Probably on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I got a lot of comments and a lot of questions. Well, a lot of comments more so. You all said a lot, you know, so I'm going to try to, like, address a lot of it as much as I can. But as far as reparations go, it takes a proper context of history to understand that. Like, people seem to assume that white people are acting crazy when you ask for reparations, but that's because a lot of them are just as confused as we are about them. And when you have a proper understanding of the history of this country and the history of the world, you can understand that, first and foremost, white people haven't just been slave owners forever. Black people own slaves as well on this soil. Actually, the very first person to own a slave in which the way we know it was a black man, a quote-unquote black man, a colored man. So when we talk about owning slaves, colored people own slaves too at an alarming rate. Now, they're not going to teach you that at school, and they're not going to teach you that in our history, because American history is based off narrative. It's not true. It's just a narrative. They need you to believe that you are a black slave and you came over here as a black slave your whole life, and that's all you've ever been, and the white man has always been the owner. But that's not true. So when we talk about reparations, briefly, who would you be giving them to? Because you would be giving some to white people, you would be giving some to colored people as well. And they don't want you to know that. So that's why they're going to play dumb about reparations.
Can I respond to that real quick? Can I respond to that point? Now, what you're saying is somewhat accurate, but that's not the full story. Because, yes, black people, when the founding of America was first coming into being, there were black people who owned indentured servants. Now,
No,
trust me, bro. I'm a student of history.
Look up Anthony Johnson.
I've heard of Anthony Johnson, and I've looked that up. What I'm telling you is these were indentured servants, and after Bacon's Rebellion, which was in the late 18th century, you can look that up, there were not a lot of black people who owned indentured servants. This was largely white people who owned indentured servants. And yes, let me say this, all black people in America were not slaves, okay? You had some free black people who were in America during these times, right? So, but there were a lot. No, it wasn't most. There were some. Now, there were a lot who were enslaved. Okay? There were a lot of people who were enslaved, and all white people did not own slaves, okay?
Most white people did.
But, and a lot, but what they did was, after Bacon's Rebellion, when they came up with the classification of white, they used these other groups who were enslaved, like some of the Irish, like some of the Polish, like some of the Italians. They used these folks in order to be the slave catchers and gave them white status. So regardless of, okay, if some black people own slaves, regardless of that fact, when they came up with the classification and status of white, that started everything. That started dehumanization, but that started the separation between the white class, between the white and black underclass from the elite. And they gave them white status, which automatically put them on a level up over a black person. Okay, now this is American history. You can look up Bacon's Rebellion.
Okay, yeah, that's a fact. And at that time, though, that's around the time that slavery became what they teach us, which is more race based and white people sort of on black people. That's true. But what I'm saying is if you're going to ask for reparations on this soil, you're going to have to take into consideration. I mean, you differ on exactly how many people were a slave owners versus that. That's fine. But my point is that if you're going to ask for that, you should uncover everything. And then that's where it gets messed up. But that's just one point. I'll concede that. Number two, as far as when we talk about racial designation, we talk about color, black, white, and all that. You can't speak on it from that perspective either. It's more so along the lines of your lineage, your seed line, and this is kind of more so towards what what's the name said earlier about grouping all black people together, quote unquote, all quote unquote black people in the world, because we're not all the same. That's why Africans don't accept us, and that's why you can't just go over there and do X, Y, and Z, because you're not African. You're a colored person, but you're not African, and they know that. They know who they are. They know who they tribe or they tribe is their sea line, because race means sea line. They know who they are. We aren't African people, and that's where like 99.9% of our problems come in, because we don't have a proper understanding of our own culture. We think that we're African, and that's just not the case. Any short understanding of history will prove that to you. That's another story. But if you're going to go from that route, you have to consider those things.
Now, okay. Now, look, that's good. That's a good point, caller. Thanks for calling in. So now my thing is the slavery piece is really just a small piece of that. We can start from the 20th century moving forward as far as reparations go. You see what I'm saying? We don't even have to mention slavery and the case for black Americans getting reparations post the 20th century is very valid, and the evidence is overwhelming, really.
Well,
You want to talk about Jim Crow, you want to talk about state-sanctioned terrorism where black people had to flee the South because they were being lynched and there was no protection from the law. You know, we can talk about housing discrimination and how when black folks got to the North, they got with these shady landlords and they wasn't buying mortgages. They wasn't allowed to get mortgages. They wasn't allowed to get mortgages from after black people came off of World War One and World War Two, they were denied home loans and grants.
I'm with you on all this.
You see
what
I'm saying?
But what I'm going to tell you about this is that you're just going to keep talking in circles when it comes to that, because they're not going to give you anything. So you need to be going to another point.
This is the point. This is where, because we got to start somewhere. The fact, because like I said before, this is a win-win strategy. Like I said, I for one don't believe that they will give us reparations. But the point of this movement is to put this on the table once and for all. Because once they say no, then you have the seeds of a revolution. Because your grassroots, the people who hold up this society, which is the underclass, right, they're going to get disgruntled. And once they get disengaged from the system, then you have a problem on your hands, right? That is how
we already know that they're not going to approve it.
Well, but
we already know they're not going to approve it, though. So
right,
we got to put it out there so they can show it hasn't been grassroots like this. It's been out there for a while, but
right, but it hasn't been grassroots like this. It hasn't been at the forefront of these presidential candidates. You see, when they run to the Breakfast Club to try to get the black vote, they're asking them about a black agenda and about reparations in these town hall meetings. So as far as in my lifetime, I've never seen this on the forefront. And it's important that it gets put on the table and the dialogue gets started, whether it happens or not.
So when I read earlier for them two people, Marcus Garvey, that was on the forefront at that time. The program I read about, that was at the forefront at that time.
So now we're at another segment
in time where the same thing is going to happen. They're not trying to hear this reparation talk. We might as well get that understood.
Yeah, I'm along with you on that. Like, they're not giving it up. So either you can either go demand it and force a war, or you can move back to Africa. Like those.
No,
really,
why would go back to Africa? Africa is a continent. What are you talking about? Go back to Africa? Why should we leave the place that we built? I don't understand that.
Because you don't own it. And you're not going to, and that's why I said you have an option to fight for it. If you believe it's yours, you should fight for what you believe.
Okay, and before you fight, you have to have dialogue. That's what politics is. Politics is war of the words. You talk about things, you debate ideas, and you put that on the table. So what I'm saying, show me a presidential candidate from back in the day, a Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad, that addressed reparations in a public forum. Just show me the link. Show me. You see?
So you're saying that's what's being done now?
Yes, that's what's being done now.
That is what's being done now.
I was just about to say, so your whole point is hinging on the fact that they acknowledge it publicly now. That's your whole argument. Is that, well, now they're acknowledging it publicly. They've known it the whole time. We all knew it. But now they acknowledge it publicly, so now it's going to make something different.
You guys are missing the point. Listen, I said that they're not going to give reparations. What I'm saying, that's not the point. What I'm saying is for it to
They're acknowledging it publicly.
It's being publicly in the discourse. It's being publicly talked about.
I just said that. They're acknowledging it publicly, correct? That's what I'm saying. So that's what you're hinging your argument on is that, well, now it's different because they're actually acknowledging the public. Even though they know this whole time, even though it's been understood, people have been, you know, the grumblings have been around since Garvey. Because you gotta at least acknowledge that it's been around since that time. And even if it wasn't publicly out there, it's been around. So the fact that it would be different if you're saying they never knew until now. That would be something different. That would be something totally different. You're like, well, they never knew it now, but they've known this whole time. Now they're not calling
anybody because, like I said, if they don't do it, then we don't have nothing to lose. But what it does is it lets the grassroots know, because a lot of people don't know. Everybody's not on the same level of consciousness, and this movement, like I say, in my lifetime, I haven't seen something like this as far as the political game goes. You see what I'm saying? So the fact that we can – see, this is the point. This is the point. Put it on the table and let them show their true colors to the world, right? Let them deny it to the world. That's fine. That way we know, and it's on the table publicly. That way we know how to move from here. If they don't do it, okay, bam. That forces us to get on our game even more. You see what I'm saying? So whether they do it or not is not the point. It's the point that it's out there.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I get. So now you're saying that a lot of people don't really as many people who do know, there are people who still don't. So once it's publicized, everyone will know, and then that'll lead to some type of movement.
What I'm telling you is, black people don't know black history, for the most part. We don't even know the history in our own area. But what I'm saying is, we don't know the history. We don't know the history in our own areas and region. We don't know that there were a lot of these successful black towns that were basically terrorized and forced to pick up. Most people can, you know, some people could point to Black Wall Street, but there were hundreds of towns that this happened to. Okay?
Yeah, now, I agree. We don't.
6 million black people had to flee the South to go north, only to face more terrorism. Like, there's a lot of part of American history and how we've been treated that has been lost in the last 50 years. Like these young generation, because they don't teach it in school.
I agree. It ain't on them to teach it. It's really on us. But I agree with you. We don't know, and that leads to a lot of problems. This is point blank being for me as far as the whole situation. Just to sum it up, It shouldn't matter about reparations. We shouldn't be looking for no handout or no type of.
This is not a handout. This is not a handout, bro.
I know what you're going to say. We deserve this because we did X, Y, and Z. This is what I'm telling you. We have everything we need. We have more than enough of what we need within ourselves. That's all we need to do is to reconnect with our culture, accept our culture, and then start taking care of each other. That's all we need to do. We could reparate our own self if we did that. We don't need them to give us. We don't need them to give us what we so richly quote unquote deserve.
Yeah.
We don't need none of that.
What? Tony, we don't. You saying yeah, but you just asked for land, my brother.
Well, I was getting. That's what I was saying. I didn't get it.
Like all that other anything else after that, it would be. And then also, I even give you this: your argument would be a lot stronger if we were more connected as a community. It would be a lot stronger. I still necessarily wouldn't agree, but it would be so much stronger because everybody would be moving on one accord about the situation. But we all are going to move on one accord about anything because we don't have any culture, so we will never move on one accord about nothing.
This is my thing. If you're black and you don't agree with the movement, I think it's best to just not say anything, because the point is, everything you're saying, nobody said, oh, the Jews just need to just band together and do their thing. They have everything. Nobody said the Native Americans, they don't need anything. They don't need no land. They don't need no casinos. All they got to do is just do X, Y, Z. Why, when it comes to black people asking for something that they rightfully deserve, everybody wants to make excuses? Oh, we just got to do this. We just got to be unified. When we're looking at the numbers and you got wealth disparity so great in this country based on race, it's ridiculous. Let me make this point. Because we were not allowed to build generational wealth through home ownership, a lot of our businesses were destroyed, so on and so forth. So don't come and say, well, no, it's not. No. If you don't agree with the movement, it's best to just be silent, because the facts point to black people deserving reparations, and people could come up with all these different type of things. Oh, you asking for a handout, and you just asking. No. This is not a handout. This is what's rightfully deserved, just as other groups got what they deserve. And it's not the end all be all, but this would be a start to the reconciliation of America. You see what I'm saying? It's a reconciliation. This ain't no handout.
This is the point.
It's handout as as many handouts as white people got from the government. You can miss me with that handout talk.
It's their government. it's their government. I would give if,
oh,
if I was
so
if,
now we're not a part of
control,
so we're not a part of
no,
nothing.
I mean, we got to look at it for what it is, not what they say. We know what this is. It's their government. They run it. If I ran the government, you would get preferential treatment. That's just what it is.
Why? Why would you get somebody preferential? Why won't you give the people treatment and stuff that they deserve? Why does someone have to get preferential treatment?
I don't have a problem with you giving preferential treatment to your own kind. I don't have a problem with that because in the ancient world, people didn't mix and mingle like you got in America. You know, like when you mix and mingle, that's how stuff started getting messed up. In the ancient world, people had their own land with their own people. They did their own thing. Like when you mix people around,
People did, bro. I'm a student of history. I study ancient culture. People mixed and mingled all the time. You had trade routes, you had roads. Now, what it people had their cultures established. I agree. America is a new invention with different cultures. America is a mixture of different cultures, but people mix and mingle all the time. There's nothing wrong with doing business with another country.
That's what I'm saying. My point still holds true. That's what you're correct. That's my point. My point still holds true. You didn't have these problems because you had to adhere to their culture. You didn't have these problems. Those places, people show preferential treatment to their own kind. In those cultures, they exactly did. You look at Rome, you look at ancient Egyptians, they showed preferential treatment to their own kind. That didn't mean that other people couldn't live there and, you know, do their thing, but you had to do it under their guidelines.
So you're saying we suggest accept our lot and just try to do our own thing, even though history shows when we did our own thing, we still got terrorized. So what?
Let me explain. We never, sections of people did their own thing, but we never did our thing as a whole. Sections of groups of people did their own thing. Yeah, but as a whole, we never did that because we don't have culture here. So you have
We did pre-integration as a whole, we did. We had culture. We had neighborhoods set up. Pre-integration, we did do those things.
We never had a real culture here because we don't have real history. You think something different about history than I do, and that person thinks something about, like, you line up 10 different black people, we got 10 different ideas of what history, what spirituality is about. We have 10 different ideas. That's not a culture.
That's
just a bunch of people thinking what they want.
Because white people don't think like that. White people are not all on one accord, but what they are on accord is dominating. they're on accord with dominating, and they're on code with dominating black people, period. That's what they're on code with. So they don't all have the same religion. They don't all have the same view of history. They have different views on all that.
They don't need to have it, though, because they're the elite. They don't need to have it because they're already in position of power. So the elite white people all believe in the same thing. You better believe that. That's a fact. The elites do, and that's all that matters. So they put their people in position. So, yeah, you're right. Majority of white niggas don't got to believe all the same thing. They can be all over the place because their leaders are in position to lead. But when it comes to Asians, when they come over here, they have their own unique culture, their own set of ideas. That's why they can flourish. That's why Mexicans can flourish. That's why other sections of people can come over here and flourish because they have culture.
Right, now listen to what you said. You're making my point because how do we get our culture taken? Exactly. Our culture's worth, you know what I'm saying? Our culture was stolen from us. It's not like we
That's
just gave
That's
up our culture
fact.
Just to come over here.
I agree.
So that's making my point. The fact that we were stripped of our culture. the fact that we were stripped of our culture, language, religion, so on and so forth, that in itself says we deserve some type of compensation. Like, let's be real.
It ain't about, like I said, you don't live in a world where it's about what you deserve. You can't control what other people do. You can only control yourself. You can't control.
That's a fact. But you can, put pressure. You can put pressure on folks.
No,
you can
can't.
Put pressure in the political realm.
Either you,
which
can
is what we're dealing
course.
With. But why? But who are you to say? Why would you be a black person saying they're not gonna do it? How do you know they're not gonna do it? They may come around and do it.
First off, I don't need them to do anything for me. That's why. That's first and foremost. Like I have enough strong sense within myself and within the culture of what I know to be true. Is that I don't need them to do anything for me. I know that I can.
It's not
me
about
and my people
doing
get
anything.
It on
what,
our own.
What type of Jewish people got reparations from the Holocaust? You think they were saying, "I don't need you to do anything for me"? That sounds crazy.
That sounds crazy.
The Native Americans shouldn't have got casinos. They should have been like, "We don't want your land or casinos. We don't need you to do anything for us." See how that sounds?
You mixing the argument. If someone offers these things to you, yeah, that's cool. But you want us to fight for something that we know not going to happen.
It's just like fighting for civil rights. We still fought for that, and what did we get?
Yeah, well, I was just about to say, if we want to go into that lane, civil rights was just a communist movement. Like, they wasn't fighting for nothing. The great black people, white people, so they could push their globalist agenda, but that's another story. As far as the Indians, yeah, they didn't ask for hundreds of years, my nigga. The Jews didn't ask for hundreds of years. And on top of that, the Jews are in power. That's why they got reparations, because their people are in power. So they said, we're going to give our people what they want. We're going to give our people things that we want them to have. The Jews are in power. Therefore, yeah, they get reparations. But ain't nobody else out here complaining about nothing except us. We the only people that's trying to get something from somebody else.
Complaining? Oh, my goodness. Are you serious, bro? Okay, I want to get to some other calls. We got some other calls, but, I'll leave that right there. That complaining thing, really, really, after all that black people have been through in this country, complaining, really? Come on,
what
my
you want
dude.
Them to do, give you a hug?
Come on, my
you want
brother.
Them to hug? Well,
come on, my
you
brother.
You want them to hug you and tell you, it's okay, man. It's okay, black man.
No,
I'm sorry
no,
that I did
cut.
You.
No,
that's
just cut the check
that's
and give
exactly
the land. No, just cut
that's
the check and get. No, just cut the check and get the land. Period.
And we're sorry.
No,
let's cut you a check. Yeah,
cut the check
mean,
and get the land.
You know. Yeah, that's what I think, dog.
Wow.
Okay, let's go to the call lines, Roger. Let's go to the call lines.
Okay. Okay, let's go 314-616. And I'm sorry, Paul, I know we run out of time, so we're going to try to get as many calls. So let's try to make a comment or ask a question. Let's try to make that go by pretty fast. Let's start with area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Hey, good evening, Paul.
Oh, good. Peace.
Great.
How are you?
I won't be too long. I want to briefly respond to the ignorance of the last caller and ask him to ask himself that if he were in a car accident and he was out of work for a whole year, whatever the situation may be, what he's saying by the statement that he made is that he shouldn't even be compensated. You know, so imagine
exactly.
people that were out of their native land for hundreds of years and stripped of everything that they had. You know, and you can't even name a group of people that have been empowered without some type of reparations. My thing with the whole reparations thing is it's a very discreet thing that has to be organized. Just because a candidate talks about it or promises it does not mean that they're going to give it to you. We see that,
right.
You know, look at Donald Trump. You know, he said that he wanted to build a wall, but here it is, you know, 2-3 years out of this election, there's still been no wall built. We also have to have strategic people in place so that the funds are allocated correctly, because if you give that kind of money to a group of people that are uneducated financially, they'll get that money right back into the hands of the oppressor. So we have to be very adamant and detailed about what we mean by reparations. You know, we don't just need financial confiscation. We need land. We need people to control our own resources. We need a military. You follow what I'm saying? So that's kind of pretty much what I want to touch bases on about
right.
The reparations. I really believe now that so many people keep bringing it up in the topic of conversations, they're going to use tools of mass destruction, like, you know, some of the people that you look up to, like the Jay-Z's and things of that nature, because mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times they're trained by the elite on what to say and coached to get the masses the illusion that, you know, we're going to do something for you. So
right.
I think that's something that you definitely want to watch out for, because the more I look at it, when I'm looking at people like him and the minister and people like that, nationalism is not real to these people. Hollywood is
right.
to these people. So
right,
know,
exactly.
Above reparations, we need to really be pushing for nationalism, because there are some people like the last caller, and I respect everything that he believes, even though I don't agree with it, that think that they can navigate their system of white supremacy. And there are people like myself who knows that it is better to separate. We need to nationalize. We need to have our own nation. So
right. Right.
I'm gonna
exactly.
just leave it briefly at that. And as I say, I don't know what you guys have been talking about throughout the whole show, what has and has not
right.
been mentioned, but those are some things we want to really pay attention to when it comes to reparations. It's how, or is it being defined? How the funds being allocated? Is it just
right.
monetary? You know, that kind of thing. Because when I even look at the Jewish people, what I saw you guys were talking about, you got to think that, hey, up until 1940, they didn't even have white privilege. You know?
Right.
So give me a break. You know, it takes a lot for people to come to be liberated, so to speak. And,
exactly.
and on top of
right.
all the reparations were given to have an army, because without an army or a military, you're going to open yourself up for attack.
Right, right. Indeed. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, let me respond, because like I've been saying for the longest time, by 2020, most people will have 2020 vision. And what I mean by that, things are going to be clear. We're going to know who the enemy is, and we're going to know who our allies are. You see what I'm saying? So with that being said, I look at this call for reparations as just a push to get things started, because it's the first, like I say, the first step towards a revolution, towards nation building. Because once we put it out there and it's rejected on a world stage and on a national stage, then we know what we have to do. You see what I'm saying? So this ain't about, so as far as the reparations and what does it look like, there's a lot of different forms. Like I say, it can be monetary, it can be land, it can be wiping out the debts of some people.
Thank you for calling me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. If you're a black person and you're working and established, it could be taking away your debt. It could be giving you grants for homes. You see what I'm saying? It can be in a lot of different forms, but let's not act crazy like we can't figure this thing out. It can be figured out just like it was figured out for other groups. Hell, you can give us land and casinos. What I mean, come on, man. It's not that difficult.
Let me ask you this, Brother Kev, from your studies of this ADOS movement, what are the specifics? What are they asking? What are the reparations?
Right, and I just kind of went down. The reparations are monetary, basically, you know, figuring out the lineage of the people, like I say, who have foundation America, who have roots in the South, who have roots connected to slavery, cutting them a check. It can be land allotments, okay? We need
now,
protection.
Now, wait a minute, when you say it can be, but when you say it
no,
can
no.
be, is
no,
this
that's,
what
that's,
you're saying?
That's,
is this what they're proposing, or is this what you say, what you coming up with?
No, I'm saying, yeah, this is all part of the movement of what they're asking for. So land allotments, I don't want to get hung up on it can be, but I'm saying these are the forms of reparation. It can include one or all of these things. You see what I'm saying? Okay, a check, simple as that. Cut folks a check, period. And if you got a gripe with, oh, they going to put it back in the system, well, that's not what I'm going to do. You know, let those people do what they want to do. That's their right. They can do that with their money. But, you know, as far as the people who are in the know and who are conscious, if we get some money, hopefully most of us, I believe, would do the right thing by that money, period. And if somebody want to trick off their money by Cadillacs and Benzes, that's on them, you know.
See, that's the dangerous part, though, to that. That's the dangerous part to it. And that's what I was, you know, I didn't finish from earlier. That's what I was trying to get into about when it comes to this division. Because a lot of us, because we ain't woke up and we're not conscious, then that's what they hear. They hear a check. And they take that check and they do exactly what you just said. They do like Floyd and go to the Gucci store. Now, what is that going to get us?
Right.
Okay, woo, the government did take jobs and gave us something. Well, you, that's
cares?
The problem. We shouldn't care.
But
we
if me, but listen,
because we don't.
If me and you are doing what we supposed to do with the money, who cares what they do? Let's do our work with it. You see what I'm saying? Let's do our work. We don't need all. We don't need this quote unquote black unity. You know, like people talk about. We need black folks, a small number, that are on code and moving together. 3,000 black people on code moving together are more powerful than 500,000 black people just walking around aimlessly. You see, because if we're doing what we got to do, who cares what they do? Long as we doing what we got to do. You see, but back to the land too.
And that's what we want.
Land is a part of it. Land is a part of it. That's what I don't know if you heard me, but land is a part of it.
Land should be all of it. We need to take all those resources and separate and build our own. That why divide it up? Okay, cut people the check and you hope that some are gonna do what they're supposed to do when you know the majority of us is not gonna do that.
So you go get land where you say the majority not gonna do right by the land. So then we back in another predicament.
No, because like you said, when we get that average, when we're allowed to separate, whether it's here or somewhere else, preferably here, when we're allowed to separate, then that small group of people that you're talking about, now they have a place that they can all congregate and migrate to do the work. That's what I'm saying. If you just start cutting people check all across the country, we already know the majority of us ain't going to do what we're supposed to do with it. Well, let's just take that place and let's buy but have the government give us our 4 or 5 states in the South and designate them to us, and then that group of people that you're talking about, now we can start migrating and build upon that land that is designated just for us. I would prefer to see that done than cutting people checks all across the country, because like we said earlier, all they're going to do is take the money and put a lot of it back in the oppressor's hands. And that's the
I don't believe. I don't believe that most of us will do that. That's what you're saying. I think it'll be a small number that would do that. I believe, for the most part,
I didn't believe Floyd would do what he did, but he did.
That's Floyd, though. That's one individual. What I'm saying is that shouldn't even be brought up in the conversation. That's a conversation for after the fact. In a public forum,
yeah, after
if you're
we
talking
get our
about reparations, that shouldn't even be brought up. But even if you have land, you still need resources and capital to maintain land, to cultivate the land, all these things. You still got to deal with some form of dollars to get things
going. Did we have that when we built this country? Or was we just forced to build? Who built the country? We did it, right? With our hard work. We didn't have that. We was just forced to do some stuff. So we don't need that money.
We didn't have to use material. The material was provided.
Exactly.
We didn't provide the material.
Yeah.
We just
what
provide the
material?
Labor, free
okay,
labor.
Let's talk about the material. What material?
whatever it takes to build.
Let's talk about that.
Whatever you're building.
I mean, whatever
build.
It takes to build
right.
things. The majority
yeah,
of what it takes to build things is stuff that is already grown on land. Wood is a great foundation for building. You start there. That's why we need fertile land that's minerally rich. So we can have our own land and use our own resources.
Let me say
and also, well, wait a minute, hold on, let me finish. Y'all cut me off from early. I haven't been allowed to finish my statement. Just like if we have resources with minerally rich countries over in Africa, all of the stuff that's used here comes from that continent. That's why the importance of building that bridge and that relationship with those countries is so important. Or, I hate to say it, but we just have to take it ourselves. But at the end of the day, Africa is important to us. That continent is important because a lot of the minerals, these resources y'all are talking about, comes from there. So we need that. We need that. But if you give us our area, if you give us our area here, we are resources. We build civilization. What, are y'all forgetting that? We are the builders of civilization. We don't need money. We built this whole planet. Give us our space and we can do for self. We don't need money. We will figure it out. All they need to do is map out our area and say, there you go. And we'll figure it out from there. We don't need their money.
Well, let's take one more call.
Now, y'all can have it.
Caller is 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? I'll respond to that later.
Yeah, you that's a good idea. You know, this stuff about blacks built America, where? What did they build? I mean, that's easy to say because there's talking points you've heard.
You want to start in D.C.? You want to start in D.C.? What
and,
do
you know,
build?
You may mention,
you,
hang
can
on
we
for a second, because.
In D.C.? You
well,
you're what
talking
we
about
I'm
one building.
No, there's not one building. We're talking about
that's not America.
Benjamin
Let's look at the,
that's the capital. I've started at the capital of America.
That's
Benjamin
one place.
Banneker,
that's the District of Columbia. That's not America.
That's the capital of America, sir. That's
no,
what I'm telling you.
That is the District of Columbia. It is not even a state. Here's another thing.
Capital.
You made mention about
well,
you know, Kevin, you like to talk a lot when people is talking and argue. It's what you like to do is argue.
Go ahead,
can
my
you
brother.
Listen
Go
for
ahead,
a minute?
Go ahead, my brother.
Like you made mention about they paid the plantation owners for the slaves. That was in the District of Columbia, and Lincoln done that to the Northerners. He didn't give the Southern plantation owners any money.
It
and he also
matter.
Offered
he
every
it?
Slave, hang on,
okay.
he also okay. offered every slave $100 if they would get the hell out of here. And guess what?
Really?
They did. Well, you need to do some studying. Here's another point.
Really?
Here's another point. Every American citizen, man, woman, and child, owe about $90,000 against the national debt because you're American. Another thing, the unfunded liabilities portion of the national debt, every taxpayer, man and female, owe $1,002,000 toward unfunded liabilities. So when you get your reparation, that's going to be deducted. Those that want to go to another country, well, you can do that now. Nothing's stopping you from doing it. Just denounce your citizenship. Don't be talking about no dual citizenship. No, if you're going to leave the U.S., leave for good. Denounce your citizenship. And where is this separate land going to be at? I keep hearing people talking about. You think that the state of – see, this is another thing. In these arguments, you be mixing jurisdictions. You be mixing possibility. You got federal and state. The federal government don't have no jurisdiction over Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Texas to tell them to give black folks land. Are you crazy? Think about it. So where are you going to have this separatism at? And then – who's going if
so
you're going to have
did the
separatism
Indians get the land, sir? How did Indians get the land
they
in
was,
Oklahoma?
Listen, hang on,
Iowa,
wait a minute.
Okay, go
hang
ahead.
On for
go
a
ahead,
second.
Sir.
Indians, who's going to run your electrical system, your sewer system, your water systems? think white's going to stick around and do that for you? I mean, think about all these possibilities.
What are you talking about? Black? You saying black people can't run?
Hell no. You can't control the damn. And in St. Louis, you can't control. The Arabs is controlling all the gasoline and the convenience marts. Another point. Where are you going over to Africa and going to take something? Nigerians say, I've heard in some discussion, you bring your butts back over there, they're going to do it all over again. You know what that means? They're going to sell you again.
No, you see, I mean, they go back to what I was saying earlier about our divisiveness. And all these different little tactics we come across is divisive.
It's not only, you know what makes it divisive? Because people don't think. They go by the popular emotional statement, concerns. You're talking about being treated bad. People don't get no reparations because they're being treated bad. If they're being treated bad where there's damages, you have a lawsuit where you are plaintiff and you plead for your damages. The thing is, when you compare, and you know another thing, United States did not pay no Jews for the Holocaust, not the United States government. The reason why come the Native Americans receive some because they are mentioned in the U.S. Constitution as a separate country. And they formed what they formed in order to address their problems. Japanese that lost their land during the interment, they was compensated. Guess why? Because they were still alive.
Sir, what you're doing is just making a bunch of excuses. And that still doesn't point to the fact that black people in this country need to be compensated. Period, point blank.
Okay, stop right there real quick. I'm not going to take but a minute. I ain't going to take but a second. Compensated by who?
By the federal government, first and foremost.
The federal government did not do that.
Okay.
Show me where the federal government did these things. The federal government, U.S. federal government, did not profit off of slavery. How did they?
I'm going past slavery. We're talking about the government sanctioned federal housing grants to white veterans that were not afforded to black veterans. That was a federal program that started the white flight to the suburbs, sir.
That is not true. Blacks also was afforded those opportunities.
No, they were not.
Yes, they were.
No, sir. What are you talking about? Do I have to point you to documentation? See, I can document and tell you where to go to find these things. Okay?
You cannot show me. Well, I tell you what. Let's do it a little bit easier. Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. Be real cool. Show me the act that specifically says within the text that blacks are excluded.
Okay. Come on, now you see you're smarter than that.
If it's that easy, you shouldn't have no problem showing it.
They're not going to put that language in there. That would be too obvious.
Hang on for a second. If you're saying that a bill came out of Congress that did not specifically have in the text that we're going to exclude black people, then it's no responsibility on the federal government.
Sir.
Anybody else understand what I'm saying?
These things are well documented. Yeah. They don't have to put that explicit language in there in order to discriminate and keep these resources away from black people. They don't have to say
no, that's not true.
They don't have to do
that. Because you talking to it when you look on the downtown skyline, you are talking to a black man that erected many buildings down there. And I know the resources that's available. So what you're saying is not true.
Good for you. What I'm saying is
I know you mean well.
But what I'm telling you, sir, is those resources are not afforded to the number of black people that deserve those resources. They will give it to
Stopping you from going out them. I can name you other blacks that have taken advantage of the opportunities, too.
I can name you a lot some black millionaires. What are we talking about? That's not the point.
No, we're not talking about millionaires. We're talking about these opportunities that you say was not afforded.
So you're saying the federal government treats black and white people the same? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm telling you that there was no law. Let me tell you what I'm telling you. I'm going to tell it to you one more time. Somebody help me. There was no law that was passed by Congress that had within the text that excluded black people. So you can't blame. I asked you, I said, who are you going to go after? You said the federal government. Then I said, well, show me the bill. Show me the statute that was passed that say we exclude black people. That's what you're going to have to do when you go to court.
What I'm telling you, sir, is the documentation and the numbers prove it alone. They don't have to put it in the bill that they're excluding blacks. That would be crazy. That would be.
Well, then you can't sue the federal government for it then, Kevin. You got to go to somebody else.
The numbers. We can look at what started the suburbs. We can look at it. Like the suburbs.
What you mean what started the suburbs? Suburbs was started because people went out there and cut down trees and built houses.
What I'm talking about.
Which happened to be African Americans too. If you want to look in the South, you know, you get back to this talking about what whites done. In South Carolina and New Orleans, the majority of the slaveholders was mulattoes. 83.1% was mulatto women. And this stuff about indentured servitude, mulattoes did not do no effort to save dark-skinned people. Why do you think they had a quote-unquote paper bag test?
That's right. That's all fine and dandy, sir. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you about is the white flight from the city to the suburbs.
What about the black flight? What about the black flight, too?
The black flight was from the south to the north. Okay,
this
6 million black folks.
Brother Kevin, this has been a really, really great build. I love this energy. I just wish we had more time. I appreciate the callers from calling.
You need
in.
To get
Thank
some reparations
so
you can have more time. Pay some more time.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about that later.
I felt like that was a shot.
Yeah, use that reparation money and buy some more time on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
I'll send you an email.
Those other two guys that
call,
I want those other two guys to contact me because your argument is weak. You need to talk to someone who's been through this stuff that can help make your argument strong. Email me. My email is L as in Larry. Real quick. L as in Larry, C as in Charles. I tell you what. Look me up on Facebook. My name is Pianki Bancole. P-I-A-N-K-I Bancole. Bancole. In reference to this discussion.
We're going to send that to you. We'll get on there between today and tomorrow, Mr. P. We appreciate you. That's our very loyal listener. We appreciate you.
Yeah, alumni.
This is a great show. Thank everybody for tuning in.
Find us on
Facebook, Instagram. Look for us in the earth. We are fine.
In the earth. We out here. Been a great build, y'all.
Find us in the
earth.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point. From head to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. We've been going deeper, breaking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we talking. Collective mind.
Yeah, they gon' feel.
straight thoughts.